I think today needs addressing.
Yeah.
I can't
we
go
need
from
to
that
talk
to then.
About today.
Yeah.
We need to talk.
We need to have
Graham Daniels, we need to have a conversation, mate.
This is Under the Abbey Stand. It's four really happy blokes in a radio studio in Cambridge, post Cheltenham. We're here to talk to you today about Cambridge United's last few games, the upcoming games against Stevenage and Carlisle. And yeah, we're going to dissect it as happily and positively as we can. I'm joined in the studio by the usual suspects. Julian Roberts, welcome.
I'm a miserable bastard.
Tom Walker, how are you?
What were you all worried about?
And we've got a special guest in the studio today, Josh Parker, Cambridge United fan and aficionado. Josh, welcome.
Hey up, Doc. You're right.
Welcome. Perfect intro. Right, gents. So we are Saturday evening at 5:30. We are fresh from another cracking home defeat. It's Cheltenham Town and it was 1-0.
Gents, I would like to ask you guys a question. So in the last week, which home defeat was more enjoyable?
Let's make sure that everyone knows how unhappy we all are about what's happened today. I mean, Tom's smiling.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. We didn't like create anything today. That was the kind of overriding feeling that I've got. You know, we could still be out there now, and I don't think we'd have had too many chances, really. I don't think Cheltenham created too much, I'll be honest. But
what do you think is the most worrying aspect about it all?
Individual errors. You know, we can talk about lack of creativity and stuff, but if you don't cut these errors out, you will lose games. It doesn't matter how much you're creating. You know, unfortunately today, again, it's Taft. He made an error against Newport. He made, you know, an error on Tuesday night that led to Exeter's first goal. And he's made an error today, which has led to the winner. You have to cut him out. If you don't do it, you're always going to lose games. And, you know, we can sit here and, you know, on Tuesday night against Exeter, I think everyone, the general consensus was that we played okay. But apart from those two errors, you know, we sort of played, you know, reasonably well and possibly deserved a bit more. But the simple fact is we made those errors and it's happened again today. And, you know, it's issues at both ends of the pitch now. And it's worrying because I think something that we talked about kind of on the way here, you know, it's obviously the kind of record and coming out of the game. You can't see it changing. It's not like you look at, you know, potentially other teams in the league where they're like, we've got so-and-so to come back in. We've got that centre-forward who scored, you know, 20 goals last season to come back in. We've got that defender who, you know, one of the best in the league to come back in. We're very much as we are, and it's poor. Like, Cheltenham, they're not a good side. They've just sat their manager. That might have had a bit of an influence on the game and the way that they played, because I thought they were quite solid.
But
we didn't test them, did we?
But that was Cheltenham's first win of the season. Cheltenham's first win of the season.
Was it their second goal of the season?
I'm not going to try and make this out to be positive. I don't think I've been positive, but
have you not?
No, I think
going back to what you said about individuals, I don't think if you look through our squad, yeah, I think I could have gone through that starting 11 today and just thought this is a bang average squad. You know, I know there's a bit of dispute about the formation. I thought it was a 4-3-3 to begin with Maris O'Neill and Deegan in the midfield. But, I mean, players like O'Neill, I mean, and Jake Carroll, these guys were brought in on three-year contracts, and I don't think Jake Carroll's improved. I think Liam O'Neill, today, I mean, what is his position? Since he's been at the club, he's played right-back, he's played centre-back, centre-mid, holding midfield, and today, on the right of a midfield three. And he hasn't performed in any position.
He's done them all below average.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think this is quite a polarising view, but I mean, Gary Deegan, if you look at the players that have surrounded him, you know, this season and last season, particularly this season, you know, he gets a lot of stick, but really, he's not a domineering midfielder. He's not the sort of midfielder you look at and think he's all action.
We can't also sit here and rely on Gary Deegan to be the man to create spread the ball. He's got a role, and whether he does that role well or not is besides the point. there was a few times in the second half today against Cheltenham where I'd see he was the man picking the ball up and he was trying to spray passes left, right and centre, and that isn't what he does.
I'll put it out there. I thought Gary Deegan and Libby John were the two best players on the pitch for us.
Well, Deegan got man of the match.
That's not surprising.
I think it was deserved, but without trying to be too critical on someone who had, I think, a reasonable afternoon, it's almost one of those where you don't want him to be man of the match.
No.
Because you want, your Giovanni Brown, your George Maris's, a Beerays and Aziz, you want them to be man of the match.
Let's just go through this game just very quickly. So what have we got to say about the first half?
Well, that's something that I kind of wanted to talk about and kind of address, really. I mean, what about formation, right? You mentioned it there, Josh, Parker. You said it was 4-3-3. I don't think it was. I think it was a diamond. And this is something that we've talked about on the pod, not only this season, but also last season as well. The diamond doesn't seem to work. And, I don't want to start throwing criticism at Joe Dunn, because I don't think the situation we're in is down to him. Again, I think individual errors largely are kind of the reason that we are where we are. But there comes a point when you're persistent with a system which just isn't working. And it hasn't worked for, a year now.
But
it's been about a year since we started trying to play this system.
But
the actual game when we started playing the diamond was after Luke Berry got sold, and we had Giovanni at the tip of it, and it's never really worked other than one or two games where it's looked okay, but we keep persisting with it and it's not working.
You see, I agree with you, but I think a lot of that is down to the personnel that we have. I mean, we don't have an abundance of gifted central midfielders. I mean, if you look at our central midfielders, who would you class as central midfielders?
In our team?
Yeah.
Well, Deegan, O'Neill, Maris,
Paul Lewis.
Osadobi.
Well, so how many of them,
if you compare them to, say, I know this is from one extreme to the other, but if you were to compare that to Luton's midfield from last season, when they got promoted, how many of our players would you put in the bracket of ball-playing midfielders compared to theirs?
Yeah, maybe Maris. And that's it.
That's it.
That's kind of the point I'm making, though. You're playing a system which is very narrow and very much relies on your central midfield options, yet we're playing to that as almost as a strength. And I don't think that is our strength. Personally, I would say our strength is in possibly even the wide areas, where we've got Amu and Dunk who can tear teams apart. And Amu, when he came on today against Cheltenham, made an impact. His final end product wasn't always good. There wasn't always much to aim at, but I think at the back end of last season, what was really working for us was having that 4-2-3-1, where you've got three really creative guys just sitting behind a striker. And I know that we've lost Uche, so we have lost that kind of focal point. But you can replace him with someone like Jabbo, and playing the same way.
But he did switch to that in the second half.
Yeah, and it seemed to work a little bit better. I mean, we still didn't create much, but I just think the diamond leaves are so short of options.
Football-wise, and I'm not an amazing tactician, otherwise I'd probably be in the job. But I think when you look at the squad that we have, I think you need to start thinking about getting a firm base to begin with. All of this sort of, do we start with a Beerate and Aziz, or do we just start with Aziz up top? The second half today especially, it just felt like, right, let's get the ball out to the right and just see what Brad Halliday and David Amu can do. That's what it felt like. And then Dunk, when he came on, did his bit. I'll never dig into Harrison Dunks. I think he's been an amazing servant, but that's what it felt like. It just felt like, let's give the ball to Brad and Dave and just see what they can do.
Yeah.
It's not good enough, really.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of going back to the point about personnel and about the squad, we spoke about this in the last pod quite at length, kind of about squad depth and what we need and stuff. And I think the point that we kind of made is that budget and stuff isn't an excuse, and without trying to go into that too much more, because I don't think it's particularly good listening.
You're going to mention Accrington?
And I said to you on the way here as well, I'm going to go this entire podcast without mentioning some team from up north in Lancashire. Without trying to go into that debate too much, you look at on the back of the match day programme, which I've got in front of me, Cheltenham's squad is about three or four, five players shorter than ours. The personnel's certainly not as good as ours on there.
Also, you mentioned the fella who scored the goal for Cheltenham today.
Yeah, of course. Sam Jones on loan from Shrewsbury. It was made clear about probably this time last week that they were looking to ship him off. He signed for Shrewsbury from Grimsby last season. It didn't quite work out. But he did well at Grimsby. He's on the market. They've signed him on loan, I think, until possibly January, possibly end of the season. I'll be honest, I'm not sure how long the deal is. But he's a player that fits the kind of requirement that we need. Mm. And he was available, and we didn't go in for him. And without trying to be too revisionist, you know, it's obviously very easy to sit here and say, like, we should have signed the guy that's just scored the winner against us, because that's kind of what we've just seen. But again, I don't think we are being revisionist by saying this. We said it on the last pod. We said it over summer. We said it at the back end of last season. There's one thing we need to address. It's going forward, and we haven't done it. There's what, 6 days left of the loan window as we speak now. When this comes out on Sunday or Monday or whenever we're going to release it, there'll be less time. We simply have to go into the loan market, and I don't know what's stopping us. I'll be honest, at this stage, I think there's two ways of looking at it. Either we can't afford to do it, and that's one way of looking at it. And from that angle, you go in and get someone cheap from a top-end Championship club, Premier League club, who just want to kind of get their young players out on loan to get to get some experience. On the other side of it, it's people within the club who want to retain that continuity that we spoke about. And continuity is great, but as we said last time, if you're the same as we were back end of last season, by definition, you're worse because everyone else has moved forward. So sometimes you've just got to give up that pride and just be like, let's get more help in. You know, the squad as it is not good enough. And
I think, I think the loan market is, obviously it's changed, isn't it, over the last year or two, season or two.
Can't do short-term loans anymore.
You can't do short-term loans. And I think, I'm not a Sean Derry fan at all. And I wasn't. Pretty much.
Do you know what, Josh?
80% of his...
Do you know what, I'll be honest, mate. We're not either.
That's not controversial, that
opinion. But if you look at... I'm going to use him as an example of what the loan market can do for your squad, though. Because when he took over from Richard Money, he brought in players like Ben Williamson.
Furlong.
Darnell Furlong. Ryan Ledson.
Ryan Haynes.
But if you look at players like Ledson and Williamson, especially those two, you know, the effect they obviously, you know, they were performing on the pitch, but you could clearly see the impact they had on the entire squad and the fans as well. You know, you brought in two fan favourites. Fair enough, they weren't ours. Williamson, not to begin with. But, you know, that's the sort of impact a loan signing can have. And I really feel like even someone like Jerry McDonough, you know...
Well, Billy Waters...
He wasn't Billy Waters.
He scored the winner today for Northampton, who...
I didn't know that.
Also, on Jerry McDonough, he's actually ended up in League One now, I think it is.
Yeah, you know.
I completely forget the club he's actually rocked up at, but he's actually in League One now. Who'd have thought that when he played for us?
I mean, Joe Piggott, he's in League One. He scored again today.
But
we
were saying, I mean, I'm not talking about Joe Piggott because I thought he was absolutely rubbish.
He was, but again, but why is it these players can't...
Barnsley's ended up at, sorry, completely forgot who it was. Jerry McDonough... And we were saying last week, like, we don't need someone with, like, necessarily who's scored, like, 25 goals a season for where they've been at. We need someone kind of functional. Just someone who's, you know, can bring
who
others
knows
into
the
play.
Role.
Almost like an Uche sort of player. Like, we were saying earlier as well, like, Uche didn't score staggering amounts of goals, did he? He scored, I think, 12, 13, possibly 14 goals for us last season.
Scored the winner today.
Yeah. It's hard to top of the league.
Yeah, about Scottish football.
But, yeah, to be fair.
But I think the point is really, like, he's not an out-and-out goal scorer. He's not the one you want to rely on to score 25 goals a season. But what he does for the team is so much more. And that's kind of what we're lacking.
But it's sort of... I mean, I said this to Tom and Julian on the way here to the studio about having somebody to come back from an injury or to come in on loan. And
yeah, I mean, I don't think the teams, the kind of squad as a whole has performed. I think on Giovanni specifically, you know, obviously you mentioned him there as potentially one of those kind of players. I think he was very, very anonymous today against Cheltenham. When he got the ball, he didn't do much with it. And I don't think he showed too much to kind of get on the ball. But he's a player clearly kind of that quality, you know. Yeah, anyway, you know, Cheltenham's a...
Well, yeah.
It's another home loss. It's another frustrating home loss.
Another home loss. So let's go back in time and look at what Cambridge United have done since the last pod. Let's go back to last Saturday. you know, we've waxed lyrical about the goals in that game.
Coming out of that game, I was delighted more than anything.
We were happier.
It was a happier time.
Yeah, I think that game, I mean, let's run through it really quickly. Van Veen opened scoring for Northampton. Maris scored that very well-taken goal to equalise, and then Van Veen again put Northampton ahead. And then, like you say, Deegan, right near the end, put in that absolute perlo, and he said, "I don't get in that position very often. When I do, I just tend to hit it." And that, you know, sums him up. He's not in that team for that reason, but if you can get the odd.
Well, I mean, that was Deegan's first ever goal for the club.
But then, looking back at the Northampton performance, do you think we just got away with one there?
Yeah, I just think we certainly weren't at our best, were we, at Northampton?
Apart from Darling's mistake, I thought we were equal.
But I think Northampton had a lot of chances in that game. There was actually one in particular. It was Matt Crooks, second half. Free header inside a 6-yard box. I mean,
that's when they're 1-0 up.
Yeah, but they're 1-0 up. It's game changing again. Like you say, got away with one. Of course, we got a game.
I don't know. In my opinion, it was the perfect away performance.
Yeah, I mean, it was in some ways because we got a point out of it, a late point.
But you always expect the home team to have the impetus. You always expect the home team to have the, apart from today.
But yeah, and
you
and,
always
and
expect
and
them to yeah, and Tuesday. You always expect them to be
Tuesday.
The one. Yeah, you always expect them to be the driving force in the match.
Mm.
You know, most away sides at this level, like Cheltenham today, will turn up and they'll defend resolutely, and you know they'll fight for their lives. And I thought we did that in Northampton. So to come away with a really late equaliser, which I'll be honest, felt like a winner. Really
shows character.
It shows a lot of character.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think we got away with one.
I'll be honest. I think there's, and it's possibly not kind of the most accepted view ever, but like, you know, character gets you so far, but when character is your biggest quality, you're in trouble, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that means you've not got much quality going, like, you know, doing anything. Like, you have to be able to rely on a bit more on the character to get you through. You look at the best sides, like Lincoln, for example. And again, without trying to open the can of worms about budget and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, here we go. Accrington's coming back again. Jesus.
But like, they can always rely on like that bit of quality to get them through, whether it's like a John Akinde smarmy goal off his arse or something, or whatever. Like, Lincoln, your Mansfields, etc., they've got that bit of quality to get them through. We can't keep relying on character to get us through games, because we've seen today against Cheltenham, it doesn't work. You can have all the character in the world. I think, you know, the one thing you can't fault in the side at the moment, I don't think probably in any Joe Dunn side that we've seen, is that will to kind of win, that will to kind of score goals and try and get stuff out of games. But the quality is lacking at the moment, and that's a real
massively
issue.
Massively,
yeah. And I mean, like you just said, I was just to reiterate that you can see that they want to play for Joe Dunn as well. You can see that there is a unit there, but they're just not as good as other teams we've faced. And just to bring this to Tuesday,
yeah, exactly.
That's exactly when I saw it.
Yeah.
People came out of this game, I want to see how everyone thought about it here. People came out of this game and they were like, massively frustrated, oh, I think we should have won that. I thought we didn't deserve to win it, first of all. I thought they were far better than us. We had a few decent chances and we gave it a go. Just as you say, the home side is supposed to have the impetus and take it to the opposition. And we did that. But if that's just what's required to be a good performance, then, I mean, our standard is far too low. The bar is far too low.
I think that Tuesday was a very similar performance to against Cheltenham.
Yeah, it was. But I think the only difference is that Exeter are a genuinely decent side, and I don't think Cheltenham are.
But also, and we actually said it before the game today against Cheltenham. We said it before the game that if we conceded two kind of normal goals rather than two absolute howlers as they were against Exeter, we'd be coming out of that saying we were quite poor. But I think it's only the kind of... It's a bit odd in some ways that the kind of poor nature of the goals that we conceded made the rest of the performance seem a little bit better in some ways.
I
don't know if that's something that people listening would necessarily agree with, but well, that's the way that we see it.
I think there's like a genuine disparity with what people think about that performance on Tuesday. Because I think it comes down to this. We did make two individual errors. We conceded two goals. And then we were just relying on the fact that Dave Amu and Barry Call were going to come on. And it was like, right, go on, over to you. Come on, just pull us out of this again. And if we're going to do that every single... I wrote it in a match report, which was, again, rubbish. If I...
The match report of the game.
Yeah. If we're going to do this every game of the season, concede two sloppy goals or one sloppy goal, and then just rely on Barry Call, or, yeah, probably Barry Call to pull us out of the game, it's not going to work. And again, today's a perfect example. Barry Cole's not in the squad. We can't rely on him. And what did we actually create today? How many clear-cut opportunities did we really have today?
Do you know what I'd rather? Like, a performance like today, I would much rather we started with, or not just started necessarily, but involved players like Tom Knowles.
Mm.
Youth players. You know, you've got, for me, looking out on that pitch today, there were one or two individuals, and not just today, but at the Northampton game, there were individuals that just didn't look motivated. So if you brought on someone like Tom Knowles out wide, who, whenever I've seen him, he's looked bright, he's looked sharp, he's had a good touch, can take a player on, get a ball in, why not throw him on?
Yeah, that's fine, but looking at today against Cheltenham, the issue didn't come from, for me, someone out wide taking their player on and getting a ball in. Like Dave Amu did it the whole second half. Dunk always looked like he was trying to do that. Again, just to go back to this point, I don't know how many times we have to say it in this podcast. We'll probably keep saying it for the next 40 fucking episodes. But there's no one in the box to put it in. Adiziz is shite. I've had enough of it. He's shite.
There we go. Let it out.
He's shite.
You're amongst friends.
The thing
here
is, though, like, again, like, I really hammer this point, because it'd be very easy of us to just come in here literally, what, an hour after the game finishes and let all our frustrations out and talk about stuff that we've fought over the last, you know, 2 hours or whatever about the game and just talk about that. But we've been saying this for a long time. Mm. Like, with the greatest respect, Adiziz is not a striker that you want to be relying on for goals.
No.
There is at no point in his career that he's ever scored goals regularly. Why do we think now that's going to change? What? Because he's had a pre-season.
Yeah, right, exactly. So we're
do you know what I mean?
So like, he scored a few goals against Cambridge City and Histon, so exactly. Right, that's fine. And then, so that's number one, right? That's number one. And then
Abiere.
We've made this point.
Let's just take our three strikers as individuals.
We're going to just copy and paste this clip and just put it in every episode
yeah.
And then it'll be fine.
Save loads of
time. Just for now, right, let's take our three strikers as individuals, right? So Adiziz, we kind of covered, right? He's a good kind of functional player. He does the kind of dirty work of running the balls into the channels and stuff like that.
You wouldn't mind him sitting on the bench.
Exactly. You want to bring him on against kind of tired legs and stuff.
That's what Wimbledon
and
did.
It's exactly what Wimbledon did against us.
Well, he scored. Yeah.
Frustratingly.
Going off the bench.
Abiere, right? Look at his record of scoring goals. Like, it's not anything to write home about. One in five at best. Like, the guy's 35 years old now. Like, again, he's a reasonable hold-up man. But he's not going to score you the goals.
Can I just say about Jabbo Abiere? I'm pretty sure his Twitter handle is Move Easy or Jabbo Move Easy.
Is it?
Whereas like
today he looked like,
he looked like he was a turtle running through peanut butter most of the time. Like, that was far from easy movement. Do you know what I mean? He was treading water.
I think we all are massive fans of Barry Court.
Obviously,
you know, yeah.
Obviously.
But again,
you're trying to make it out like I'm not.
Yeah.
Are you calling Julian Barry Cole hater?
I'll call you out. Should
we wrap this up? Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Come on.
We said we'd keep it short. It's been going on for about four hours.
I'll tell you what, Jack. Let's move on to the next two defeats.
Great. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, coming up in the second half, we're going to look ahead to a trip to Stevenage next weekend, a visit of Carlisle.
Loss.
And, of course, don't forget the EFL trophy game against Southend, which we'll spend about 10 minutes.
It's
Tuesday. Yeah.
Right, great.
Part two.
Welcome back to the second part of Under the Abbey Stand. We now look ahead, after all that negativity, to Tuesday's game against Southend in the EFL Cup. We won't talk about that because we don't like the trophy and it's not relevant. So, straight fast forward to a very expensive trip to Stevenage next weekend.
Yep, it's only about £3,000 for a ticket. They're taking the right old Michael out of us yet again.
Yeah, speak openly, man. I think it's bad.
Especially when they're charging away fans that much more than home fans.
I mean, it's rubbish football. The stewards as well. The stewards are the main issue. I mean, last season they had that problem with, I think it was Grimsby, was it Grimsby fans? I think
it will, yeah. It will have been.
And they were kind of they were asking women, yeah. They were searching like women's bras and stuff like that.
No, but it's good that Stevenage lost today away at Yeovil. They'll be tired from that. They've had a man sent off. You know, well, it's not all bad.
I suppose they could be looking at it saying it's good that Cambridge lost at home to Cheltenham because they'll be tired from that.
Well, yeah, but also it's a long trip to Yeovil.
It is a long trip to Yeovil.
We're going
to
lose, aren't we?
Do you think? Is that what you think?
No, I really think so. Like, I really think so.
It is their first loss of the season today, so, you know, they're in relatively good nick compared to Cambridge. They won 1-0 at home against Morecambe. They drew 2-2 with Tranmere after having a man sent off, but they were 2-0 up in that game. So they're definitely there for the taking, but are they there for the taking by Cambridge United is the question.
No. Anyone got anything to say about Stevenage?
Yeah, sort of. I really hope we play like we did last time we went to Stevenage.
Yeah, that was
we were
good.
Talking about the, in sort of quotation marks, the perfect away performance at Northampton. Last season at Stevenage was certainly the perfect away performance. Barry Cole double, came on, scored his first touch, beat him 2-0, and old Dino was left very unhappy about it all. So hopefully we can do that again.
But in all seriousness, league-wise, these next two games are very, very important for.
I think there'll be a marker for the rest of the season, yeah. Really. I mean, prior to today as well, I included that. I included today in that sort of.
Well, I think we. I think I don't think I said it on the pod, but I think I said it after Exeter. I said I'd happily take a point tonight against Exeter, but the three after that, you're looking at 6 or 7 points out of them. Losing today is the biggest disappointment of the season, as far as I'm concerned. And then Stevenage away, Carlisle at home. Now that I look at that league, having lost to Exeter and Cheltenham, I look at it and I go, I don't know.
And Carlisle are three wins on the bounce now in the league. And
the Jacksmindlehurst Derby.
The Jacksmindlehurst Derby is Saturday the 8th of September, the first round, the first leg of it at the Abbey Stadium, Cambridge United, Carlisle, 3 o'clock kickoff. But I just think it's going to be, if Carlisle, you know, they travel to Mansfield next weekend. That's not easy, but equally, if they get a result there, they're going to be buoyed and they're going to fancy coming to Cambridge United the weekend after and feel they, you know, they can take him.
I just find it strange with Carlisle. I mean, you look at the players that we have in our squad that have played at Carlisle. You know, David Amu, Jabba Abiri, Reggie Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them were very highly regarded by Carlisle fans. And I'm pretty sure that across all three of their time spans at Carlisle, they were playoffs.
There or thereabouts.
Edging on playoffs.
They were similar to Cambridge in that respect. Outside.
And that's what I find remarkable about Carlisle, is that they always seem to find a way to stay up there or get up there. And with not an amazing squad on paper.
No, I mean, their second top scorer last season was Danny Granger, and he's a defender.
Left back.
He's on penalties, but still, he's the highest scoring defender in League Two for like over the last 2 years. It's him by a country mile.
You'd have him on your fantasy team, wouldn't
you? Yeah, of course you would.
He scored against the Verde in midweek from the spot. So
yeah, exactly.
Must be good.
And they've got people like Hallam Hope. Is good for them. And you know, Reggie Lamb, when we were talking to Carlisle fans about him coming here, they were like, he's not amazing, but he always pops up every now and again to remind you he's there, and he was good enough to warrant, you know, starting most weeks or whatever. But you know, like you say, they just have a funny way of getting the results even that when they don't play that nice football.
Reggie Lamb's a really interesting player, isn't he?
I really don't know what to make of him. I don't think
he's necessarily done anything for us, but
he's an anomaly.
I'm not sure if it's just because he wears his socks quite low.
But that's the main reason that I like him. I mean, that's why I'll always have sympathy for him, because any player who wears their socks that low, for me,
I think
the lower the sock, the better the player.
I think at this level, Reggie Lamb is very much a decent enough player.
Yeah, he's decent enough.
He's proven it.
Right, that's fine. But is he going to be the player that's going to push us into the playoffs? Is he going to be the one player that pushes us anywhere near it?
It's never just one player, is it?
Yeah, but there's one player that can have a huge impact on a squad.
Yeah, I mean, it all goes. We're going round in a horrible vicious circle about Cambridge United, aren't we? But basically, it looks like it's going to be a difficult couple of games, and it could be kind of early season defining, certainly, if we're banging around at the bottom of the table with the likes of Macclesfield and Notts County, who have lost four on the bounce.
That's hilarious, isn't it? Like, I think it just gets to this point where, like we said it in our preview, what is the point in doing a preview when that's happening?
Exactly.
And they're there. I know they had Lincoln today, so that might be a bit different. They might have lost that anyway.
But they still had lost three games before that and only drawn
one. 4-0 at home to Yeovil as well, is one of them. That's the one.
The Friday night game's the most mental this season for me. But really, I think we're not feeling too positive about the, you know, playing the team currently in ninth and then the team currently in fourth, especially when Cambridge are languishing down in 21st. But time will tell, I suppose, on that one. And I suppose that takes us quite pessimistically onto part three. So welcome back to the third part of Under the Abbey Stand. It's been a whirlwind show of pessimism on top of pessimism, but it's a pleasure to have Josh and the usual suspects here in the studio dissecting the terrible affairs of Cambridge United. And always in the third part of the show, we bring you your questions from Twitter. Tom Walker, what you got for me?
Got some questions. Matt Dan, he asked us, is George Taft the worst centre-back the club has had since the return to the Football League?
Tom Dunnison.
Categorically no.
Categorically no, but let's make this clear. And I know we spent the majority of the first half of the show talking about the lack of quality up front. I was very happy that we signed George Taft permanently. Let's also make this clear. He has made a lot of awful errors over the last three or four games. Individual errors. Not that he's... Often his performance over the whole game has actually been okay as far as I'm concerned, but those individual errors, he hasn't stamped out on them.
Massively. And I was with you on Tuesday watching the Exeter game, and other than his actual errors, I saw as, like, a League Two standard centre-back myself. Like, I can't play on a Saturday because I'm doing the radio show. But I saw him leave a lot of gaps and his positioning was a bit out. And, like, you worry that obviously the mistakes happen and he does a job and he does a good thing. But when those gaps are there and that starts to get exposed again and again, like, surely it... And I'm not saying he's anywhere near the worst.
I think today Louis John was better than George Taft.
He was better than... Louis John was better on Tuesday as well, as far as I'm concerned.
I think George Taft let him down on Tuesday and today. But I don't think he's the worst we've had. No.
Just linking to that question ever so tenuously, just a really quick point. Do we think it was right that Mitoff was dropped and Ford was brought in for today's game?
No.
I don't know. I think that's a really interesting one. It's one that I don't have like an actual opinion on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really don't know what to think about that.
David Ford looks like he's enjoyed an all-inclusive holiday far too much.
Yeah, for the 40 years of his life.
Whereas Mitov actually looked hungry and...
Nice Bulgarian. Not Hungarian.
but he actually looks...
Very good. Look how proud he is of himself. Yeah. That's what really annoys me.
Mitov actually looks like he's got something to prove, whereas David Ford looks like...
Maybe that's the issue. Maybe the issue is that he's got something to prove. After that mistake... That was a bad mistake on Tuesday. No one's going to... A lot of people are saying, yeah, the cross shouldn't have come in. But again, he shouldn't have left that much space.
But again, Taft was beaten in the air.
He was beaten in the air. The header wasn't powerful. He's right at him. And he's let it go for his legs. At the end of the day, he should still save that. There are other problems there.
I think the last person you blame is your goalkeeper.
I think in that situation he should save that. We can't always just be sugar, not sugar.
Well, if you want to go about shoulda, woulda, coulda, Beverly Knight, then it's like the cross should have been stopped.
Yeah, right, and that's fine. But
Taft should have won the header.
But even if the cross doesn't get stopped, Taft doesn't win the header.
It's got to be the 10 before it beats the one.
Yeah, that's fine. But all of that, and that, they all have an issue. There's an issue there. But at the end of the day, he should still save that.
Well,
do you think that's fine? That's fine that he just lets that in.
I think that was one of a multitude of errors in that goal.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah, but then
I think it's unfair to pick on a goalkeeper.
But then David Ford. People are happy to just pick on David Ford though. Against Port Vale, he's got. That Port Vale, the last goal, the third goal, Tom Pope's header, is a way more powerful header than the one that Mitov
did. The Ricky Miller free kick against Port Vale,
David Ford looked like a body double for Del Boy for infinite.
So maybe we shouldn't have committed a foul. So it's not actually David Ford's fault. It should never have been a foul.
No,
we're blaming the person who gets the foul.
Because it's a different moment.
I knew this was going to happen.
But then, different moment. It's a totally different moment.
Yeah, but it's a different moment to crossing the ball to saving the header.
Omiolo Benon has asked us a question.
Good stuff.
He said, as we've conceded 2 or 3 goals a game, which is a pretty accurate statistic at this point.
Yep.
Why haven't we gone and got in either a defender, or this is an interesting kind of point that he's raised, or a coach, a defensive coach who knows how to work a back line?
I know one. There's one that I know him. You might know him.
He's good at getting clean sheets.
Yeah, he's really good at it.
I think, seriously, it's a good question to ask about kind of dipping into the loan market. I mean, I know we've talked about it today a little bit, and we talked about it quite a lot last time. But last few days of the loan market, I mean, let's kind of rephrase this question in some ways. I mean, if you could sign one player in the loan market, would it be a striker or would it be a centre-half?
Striker.
Yeah, striker.
All day long. I know there's individual areas, and Joe Dunn himself said it in the week, that they're the sorts of things that will fade during time. I know he says it, and there's no guarantee that they're going to fade during time. I hope.
After this afternoon and Tuesday, I'm convinced that Louis John could do an okay job. Alongside Greg Taylor.
Yes, I mean, this is something that Joe Dunn's kind of been speaking about after the game. It sounds very much as though he's looking to bring someone in.
Yeah.
From his quotes, obviously, Matt Ramsey is a professional, and he manages to get these quotes from Joe Dunn straight after the game. And I suppose what Joe Dunn's really said there is that, look, we're very much on the lookout, but it very much depends on the market at this stage. So it sounds like they're trying to do the right things. Whether they can get them done or not is very much a different thing. Obviously, by the time this goes out, by the time people are listening to it, you may have a much clearer idea of the situation we're in. But I suppose to answer Omulo's question, we definitely need something at the back.
Look at that quote, by
the
way.
This is a quote from Joe Dunn that I've just pulled up. If you analyse the goals we've conceded, you've got to do the basics of defending. Just be a defender. Do your job. We talk about responsibilities all the time. That's how you stop them. Do your job properly, and then you don't concede as many.
And that's true. That's the thing. I don't think George Taft is... Going back to that first question, I don't think George Taft is the worst defender we've had in the Football League, because I've seen him do his job properly. He's just not been doing it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just about being held accountable, isn't it?
Although I've never seen Adi Aziz do his job properly. Well, okay, maybe once against Cambridge City.
So to send those questions in, or feedback, or insults, or just to tell us how annoyed you are about how Cambridge United are playing at the moment, it's at AbbeySandPod on Twitter or AbbeySandPod@gmail.com.
Oh, there's one more actually that come in from the email.
Go on then.
Paula Johnson, she says, great podcast, shame it's a little potty mouthed at times. She asks, do you think we are at risk of a relegation battle, or are there two poorer teams?
Well, I would suggest that at this stage, if you look at the league table, which isn't particularly conclusive at this stage, but if you look at the way we're playing and the goals we're conceding, if we keep doing it, we'll be in a relegation battle.
Absolutely. Look at Grimsby last season.
I definitely agree.
Don't say that, Jack. Grimsby fans get really annoyed if you criticise
them. They really hate us here at the moment.
They don't like us
at Grimsby. I've got a big connection to Grimsby fans, and they hate us.
I think it could be a very, very tricky season.
It could be a very, very long season.
Moving on to the next part. Cambridge United bet of the week.
Yeah, so this was something that I put in that I potentially haven't talked to you guys about.
Yeah, go for it.
Sorry to spring this on you guys. So, obviously, just to kind of let people in the know, I suppose, we make a running order every week for the show. It might not come across at the time that we organise, but we are.
Ish.
So, a new feature we're going to run, or certainly try and run, is a Cambridge United Bet of the Week. So, you know, you guys can send us in your kind of tips for the Cambridge game coming up. And, you know, the best one we'll get backed by UTAS.
That's what we'll do. We'll do it like this. We'll stick a fiver on it between us. Or using UTAS money that you've all for your fanzines that you've bought, and then the proceeds will all go towards the Cambridge United Trust.
Yeah,
the Cambridge United Community Trust.
Yeah. If we win,
so send us in your bets. So, for example, if you think there's going to be goals in the game, tell us. Say back over 3.5 goals at X odds.
Yeah.
If you think Cheltenham are going to come to the Abbey and scab a 1-0 win, tell us and we'll back it. And
lump on that.
The worst thing that'll happen is the Cambridge United Community Trust will win some money.
So yeah, which is great.
That's a new feature that will start running from now. We'll very much be updating the Twitter on it. Obviously, we're a bi-weekly podcast, so we'll try and keep you as up to date as possible. For now, it'll be our guys in the chair, so we'll be choosing those bets. Obviously, with a view to our listeners coming through and choosing those bets in the future. So, Cambridge United Bet of the Week. Keep an eye on the fixtures coming up. Have a little look on the old Bet365, the old Sky Bet. See what's available, and send us in some suggestions.
Right, and finally, for the podcast, which we're going to wrap up now, we've got Football Jenga. It fills me with absolute dread every time. But
I've never played this.
So basically, Football Jenga is, we go around in a circle, you name players who played in said game that I've nominated, and then if you get one wrong, you're out, and the final person left.
Is it Cambridge United v Gateshead?
No, it's not Cambridge United v Gateshead. It's one in quite recent mind, but we haven't been on air very much since then.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you remember Liverpool in the Champions League final.
Oh, God.
Against Real Madrid. There was an error, a couple of errors in this.
Don't give it away.
I mean, come on. If you don't remember this player, then you're a mug. It's Real Madrid versus Liverpool. Ended 3-1 to Real Madrid. We start with our guest always. Just have to name any player who featured in the starting lineup or from the bench.
Lloris Karius.
Number one.
I'll go the match winner, Gareth Bale.
Yep.
Dejan Lovren.
Yep.
Luka Modric.
Yep.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yep.
Alexander Arnold.
Yep.
Mo Salah.
Yep.
Basically pulled his arm clean off. Sergio Ramos.
That's him.
Bobby Firmino.
Yep.
Carvajal.
Yep.
Karim Benzema.
Yep. Yep.
What's that?
Carry on.
All right, sorry. Van Dijk.
Yep. Paul, he's freezing.
Jordan Henderson.
Yep, great.
Andrew Robertson.
Yep.
I knew you were going to say that just there.
Yep.
Sadio Mane.
Yep.
I didn't like that one for some reason. I really didn't like that
one. He scored.
He did score, didn't he? Did he? Score. Yeah, fine. Yeah,
Gini Wijnaldum.
Yep.
Oh, you're horrendous.
That's a filthy one, that's one. Great, I don't like that one.
Dirty, isn't it?
I love it.
I've completely forgotten all the Madrid players that anyone said.
The Brazilian central defensive midfielder is called Casemiro.
Yeah, he is.
Right, now it's got to a point now where they're not flowing anymore.
Amazing.
So now I'm just...
Don't buy yourself time, Cobb.
Oh, no, right. Okay, let's do this. Let's do Emre Can.
Yeah, he came on, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he did.
I thought he was starting 11s.
No, come on.
Just have to play.
Yeah.
Okay, I will go with... Oh, you've thrown me there.
Don't worry. Don't panic.
Go on.
You got this.
Go on.
Marcelo.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Adam Lallana.
Yep.
Oh, Lallana's
in pyjamas.
That's pure filth.
Yeah.
That's knowledge.
I mean, that is filthy as
Julian.
Did Nacho play?
He did, he came
fucking
on.
Fucking right, he did. How many have we got left, by the way?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the best football Jenga we have ever had.
If we get more, what happens?
Everyone.
Jack wins.
We win. You lose.
No, yeah. Shut your mouth. That's Josh.
No, it's Tom.
No, it's
your go. It's your go.
Don't give me that.
Has anybody said Dejan Lovren?
Yeah, he's gone. I'm sorry.
You're out, Josh.
No. That is the rules, mate.
Sorry, mate.
Who said Dejan Lovren?
Me.
Yeah, early on. I've got it in front of me.
I think it was second guess, mate.
Yeah.
Can I have another go?
No.
Tony Cruz?
No, you can't.
Don't
say it.
No.
Tony Cruz is gone.
Yeah.
Tony Cruz is gone. We're not going to have let's just not go through Cruz Gate.
Four guesses. Cruz is always the contentious one. Four guesses.
James Milner.
Yep.
What's his fucking name?
Keylor Navas.
Yep. Keylor Navas is correct.
Did I not say it?
Karim Benzema.
You already said him.
Oh!
Julian Roberts gives Tom Walker, the V's. Right, that brings us
to... Who are we missing? Who are we missing? Tell us who we're missing.
Who are we missing?
Right, the two players we were missing are Isco and Asensio.
Lucas Van...
Panic at the Isco.
Right. Well done. That's the best football jungle we've ever had. That brings us to a close. And well done, everyone.
Thanks for making it through. Yeah. It's been a tough couple of weeks, hasn't it?
This has been hard today.
But you know what? By the time this comes out, we'll have signed a quality striker, a quality centre-half. We'll be going to Stevenage. We'll probably beat them 3-4, maybe possibly 5-0.
I mean, I've had a great hour.
Yeah, nice one, Josh, for coming in. Cheers, Julian and Tom.
Thanks,
thank
mate.
You kindly, Jack.
Thank you very much.
And until the next time, adios.
Banamano.